is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Aleph Tammuz. Today is the first day of the month. Rosh Chodesh, everyone be a Sarah B'chol, have a wonderful day. Today is we daven today. Rosh Chodeshim ke Rosh Chodoshim li amcha nosata zman kapar. Anyone here at the Baal Tefillah today? Did anyone here serve as the Baal Tefillah this morning for Musaf? Rosh Chodoshim li amcha nosata. Rabbi Sai, please. Mark. Let's get back into business over here.
Yeah.
Mark. Rosh Chodoshim li amcha nosata. Who gets credit for composing the Musaf? Or who is the Musaf correspond to? This is a popular idea. We know that Tfilos, the Ovois, were Misakein the Tfilos. Avram was Misakein Shachris, Yitzchak was Misakein Mincha, and Yaakov was Misakein Maariv. Who was Misakein Tfilos Musaf? Mark, you know this? Who was Misakein Tfilos Musaf?
Yosef.
There you go, that's right. That's right. Some say Yosef. Different opinions. Yeah. Some say Yosef was Misakin. What is the shaykh between Yosef and Musaf? I guess the same name. Yosef means to add. Musaf is an addition. It's hoysofa. It's hoysofa to the prayers. But more common among the Mepharshim, the one that gets credit for Musaf is Rochel. Rochel is the one to whom Tfilas Musaf corresponds to. And some even want to say that the core of the Nusach of Rosh Chodesh was composed by Rachel. What's the remez? Rabbi said, please, it's very hard to compete. What is the remez that it was Rachel who composed the Nusach of Musaf? Because it says, Rosh Chodoshim La'amcha. Reish Ches Lam. Rosh Chodoshim La'amcha Nusach. The first three words of the Nusach, of the Musaf, is Rosh Tevois Rochel. What? Right, correct. The acrostic. Another example. HaChodesh Hazeh, this month, Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Lochem Rosh, Lochem is Lamed, Rosh Reish, Chodoshim is Ches, not in order, but those words, Lochem Rosh Chodoshim, the Pasuk is also a remez to Rachel. No, I mean, there's a little bit forced, that type of remez, but at least when it says, Rosh Chodoshim La'amcha Nosata, the beginning of the Nusach is, now why would Rachel be the one that it corresponds to? What does Rachel have to do with Rosh Chodesh? Answer is very simple, because Rosh Chodesh is a time of concealment. When the Tiku b'Chodesh Shofar b'Kese l'Yom Chageinu. Our holidays pretty much are in the middle of the month, because Klal Yisrael follows a lunar solar year. We are Mekadesh the Levana. We, unlike the Ummah Yisraelim, relate much more to the Levana, much more so than to the sun. And that is why our holidays are when the Levana is B'tokfai, in the middle of the month. On the 15th day of the month is when we celebrate Pesach and when we celebrate Sukkot. And okay, Shavuos is really an extension of Pesach. These two. So when we have Rosh Hashanah is, where's the Levana? You can't see it. You can't see the Levana. The Levana takes time until the Levana gets large enough where you can see, where you can have Hanah from it. And they can't make Kiddush Levana. You have to wait at least 3 days to make Kiddush Levana because you can't, there's nothing to see. There's no light. So in the beginning of the month, it's called Bakese Liyom Chageinu. Rosh Hashanah is the exception. It is the time when it is concealed. Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Chodesh of all of the Rosh Chodoshim. Every Rosh Chodesh is a Zman of hiddenness. It's a new beginning. Where? What do you mean it's a new beginning? I can't see anything. You can't even see the Moilit. The Moilit is a mathematical calculation. It is impossible. Even if it was night, the conditions were ideal, it's impossible to see the Moilit for the first 6 hours. A human eye cannot see the Moilit. When the new moon begins to appear, it takes 6 hours from the time of when the moment the new moon is present until the naked eye can see even the smallest sliver of the new moon. And then it takes 3 days to derive benefit, or some say a very insignificant benefit, a significant benefit, you need 7 days. So Rosh Chodesh is a new beginning, but it's a new beginning that is concealed. Rachel Imenu is hidden. Rachel is not buried in the Ma'aretz Machpelah. Rachel is buried on the Derech, on the road, in a nowhere to be found. She's there to protect Klal Yisrael when they were concealed, when they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. They no longer were sitting in the center of the universe. They were sent into Golus. She was there on the road to be available to them, to be mispalel. The whole Malchus of Rachel is hiddenness. She's hidden, and specifically her burial is in a makom that's on the Derech, it's Mutzna, and Memela Rachel relates to whatever this means. This is very esoteric things which I'm not familiar with. Rachel relates to the Tefillah specifically. I told you Musaf really specifically, Musaf really is Yosef, as someone mentioned, but specifically the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is Miyuchad to Rachel Imenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Rachel. It's Zman of Zikaron. I think the first woman who the Torah says the word Zechira was Rachel. VaHashem Pokad Esara. By Sarah it says the word Pekida. By Rivka, what does it say? What does it say? What does it say by Rivka? It says, it says in the beginning of it's. Or am I asking? What does it say by Rivka? No, by Rivka when she became pregnant. Oh, Rivka. So does it say? Does it say? It says, but they were mispalel. It says that Rivka. Ki akrohi vayioser loy Hashem vatahar Rivka isha. He doesn't even mention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to her prayer. All of the Imahois were Akoros. All of them. And Leah, what is it? What
she was also an Akoros.
Leah?
Yeah,
but what does it say?
That's why Yiftach Esrachma, because she was an
Akoros. Then does it say that Hashem remembered her? What does it say about Leah? It doesn't say the word that Hashem. The second. It says Vayiz.
Vayiz Koralukim Esleah, Vayiz Vayiftach Esrachma. Vayar Hashem Kishnuo Leah.
But doesn't say Vayiska, doesn't say Vayiska. Vayar Hashem ki sinu ki leya, Vayiftach Esrachma. Correct. So we have all the emois. Sarah. It does not say the word Zichira. It says Vahashem Pokad Esara. Rivka, it doesn't say anything. It says Vayisra, it says Vaye oser loy, loy veloy lo. Rashi, ain't it doyma tfila sadik ben sadik, letfila sadik ben rasha. Vaye oser loy Hashem, vataha Rivka. No mention of Rivka. Leah, vayar Hashem ki sinua leah, vayiftach eshrachma, does not say the word zichira. The first person upon which it says of the Imahois, it says the word zichira is Rivka. What does it say? What does it say about Rachel? What does it say about Rachel? Vayizkara Hashem. It says the word zichira. I don't remember the pasuk. By the first time it says by an individual. Individual zichira is, it's an insult mark. You insulted a person by giving him a chumash. He knows the bal peh. He knows the bal peh. What an insult. Mark, you know, Godul avoynoi minisai. And you gave him an article, Chumash. So what's the pasuk? I'm asking. What's the pasuk? Vayizkor lekim es.
No.
Hashem. It says the word zechira by Rivka. What do we do on Rosh Chodesh? We say the word zechira. Lekaini v'kav v'sani yalev yaviyav yiravi yeretzav yishav yibukad v'yizocher v'yibukad. And we in Yalev Yavo, we mentioned multiple times in the Nusach HaTfil of Yalev Yavo, we mentioned it's a day of Zichira. Memela Rachel and Rosh Chodesh both contain the element of remembrance. Okay, remembering is not so common in the Torah. It says by the Mabul, Vayizkor Elokim Esnoyach, Veskol Achayev, Veskol Abheva, Asher Itoi Bateva. It says Zichir by Noyach. Okay, very nice. No one's going to tell you that Rosh Chodesh has anything to do with Noyach. That's not Rosh Hashanah. It is interesting that on Rosh Hashanah, we dwell upon Noyach, Zichira. But on Rosh Chodesh, there's no mention of Noyach. We go and we focus on Rachel. Rachel is the first person in the Torah upon which it says the word Zichira. Today is a Yom HaZikaron. To some degree, on Rosh Hashanah, there's Malchiyah, Zichronis, and Shofres. Every Rosh Chodesh is the Me'ein of Rosh Hashanah. So we need to bring forth an element of Zichira. Today we draw upon the Koyach of Rachel Imenu. Rachel Mevake al Boneha. Yesochar Lefulaseich. There's an element of Zichira of Rachel, and that is Roshei Chodoshim La'amcho Nosota Reish Ches Lamed is Rachel. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's go to another idea relating to the Nusach HaTfilah. Okay, we say in the Nusach, Roshei Chodoshim La'amcho Nosota Zman Kapara L'chol To Lido Sam. What does the word To Lido Sam mean? That's a very hard word to translate in the context of this Nusach. You'll say generations. Eile toldos noyach. Noyach is sadik tamo yabdei roisav. What does it mean toldos? In the context of Roshei Chodoshim Lamcho Nosoto Zman Kapara L'chol toledosam. So simply it means all of their behavior, their conduct. Zman Kapara L'chol, the consequences. You know, when a person does a mitzvah, so you don't just, it's not just the mitzvah. I did the mitzvah. The mitzvah bears fruit. Mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah in a very public way, people observe, wow, you know, I also want to be like that. I also want to, you go to a siyum and you're very inspired, you appreciate the accomplishment. I also want to, Gamani, I also want to be able to learn Torah. So you learn, and then when that person learns, he inspires other people. Who ultimately gets the credit? The originator. Every time a person does a mitzvah, it has a ripple effect. Every time a person does an avera, it has a ripple effect. So therefore, when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, did an avera, and people learn from his avera, or there are consequences, so we need kapara for all the generations. So Roshei Chodoshim Liamcho Nosoto, it's a zman kapara, l'chol toledosam, for all of the ripple effect consequences, ramifications of the avera. It's not just a kapara for the act, for everything. Okay, that's a very simple pshat, it's accurate and it's fine and good. But there are many other mahalachim. One mahalach is something which we don't really, it's hard for us to relate to this idea, I don't know the heart, is it used to be a very great danger. Like today, children are very delicate. Children can get sick. Even though children, you know, they're very robust and they can deal with a lot more than adults, but children to a degree are very delicate and they can get sick and their immune system is not yet developed to deal with illness. And at the time of Chazal, there was a specific illness that was a horror called Askara. What exactly is Askara? A respiratory disease which causes an inflammation in the throat. It's not exactly so clear what exactly this is. It's a respiratory illness. It has to do with breathing, has to do with inflammation, has to do with choking, and the doctors want to define the very specific disease, fine. Or maybe you want to say it's a category of respiratory illness which can manifest itself in many different ways. Dr. Friedman, Are you familiar with
everything you're describing is symptoms of diphtheria?
Diphtheria. Diphtheria. Okay, so this thing called Ascara in ancient times was a very, very big deal, especially when it comes to children. And that's another thing we'll talk about in a second. It was a very, very big deal. And Chazal said that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, the 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they died from the illness called Ascara. Now, were the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva children? It seems not. It seems they were adults, young adults. And so when you learn about it, it's very common to know that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they all died from Ascara. And what is Ascara? Whatever, okay, this respiratory disease, so you right away get a sense that it's a disease that can happen to anyone. And the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva that we think about, we don't think about them being children learning in elementary school, we think about them being you know, young adults, okay, or even, adults, whatever they are. No, it seems that this disease, Ascara, the primary victims of this disease were young children. That's what, I'm just telling you what it says, I don't know if I'm nothing, I'm just telling you what it says in the books. And it was a very big deal. It was a very, very big deal. A very big sakana. It was a parent's worst nightmare. Look, today you take children, you go to the doctor, they give vaccines for all the common things, you know, chas shalom, child shouldn't get sick, and they go to a doctor, and I was reading about how many vaccines they give today. It's mamash sakonis nefashis. They used to give, years ago, only a few vaccines. A handful of vaccines, the measles, mumps. They used to give today, they have a list of like 75 vaccines they can give, and many people are blowing the whistle that not so fast. And who says it's so good to give them in one shot? This, everything has to be done very carefully. What to do, how to do it, how to spread it out. Today there's a whole new industry of being very, very, very nervous about the administration to children, to know exactly what's going on, what to give, when to give, how to give it, v'chulu v'chulu. So children, Baruch Hashem, today we have medicine, modern medicine, and there's a mahalach of vaccinations. In ancient times, there was no such thing as vaccinations, and children were very, very vulnerable, and the parents' worst nightmare was Ascara. And maybe it goes deeper into Chazal, it goes deeper into the blueprint of creation, that this is something which is a very serious matter of children living out their childhood and not dying. At kidei kach, as some of the commentators say, that's what it means here in the mamash, the pshuta shel mikra of Zman Kapara. The Iker Kapara of Rosh Chodesh, Roshei Chodoshim L'amcha Nosota. Zman Kapara, the Iker Tafkid of the Kapara of Rosh Chodesh, is l'chol toldoisam, is for the children. The children shouldn't die. The children, the adults, we know when a person makes a simcha bar mitzvah, the parents make a bracha, either b'shem malchus, b'loy shem malchus, baruch shepotrani me'oin shoy shel zeh. There are different perushim of what that means. And one of the perushim is, baruch Hashem, that my child did not die because of my averos. I did an Avera, and the consequences are that my child will suffer. In fact, I actually was aware, I didn't plan to say this over, but there's a deacon, a Rambam, and Rabbi Felder, we always used to spend at least a day on that, Rabbi Felder, Ben Zion Felder. I think this year is the 1 year anniversary, this parasha, from using his Sefer. I think last year, the Parashas Korach was the first time I used Rabbi Felder's Ben Shleimim Mitzion, because I see it's all marked up in my Sefer. And there he has a section there, a very, very fascinating section about Machloikis. And he's Medayik in the Rambam. The Rambam says something very shocking. He says that when a person does an Avera, Hashem can punish him in one of three ways. Stam an Avera. Either there can be punishment beguf, he himself is ill, or he can be punished b'mamayin, he can suffer a financial loss, or rachmana litzlan, we don't understand why this should be correct. A person, his children, bonim kitanim, can suffer on his behalf. Why? What do the children do? No one knows. No one understands. This is the secrets of Hashem. One of the three, a person did an Avera, Hashem sends him warning signs, he doesn't get the message, and then Hashem has to punish. So the punishment can manifest itself in one of three ways, one or the other, either beguf, bimamoin, or bonim kitanim. But then the Rambam says that if a person engages in machloikis, like Koirach engaged in machloikis, then the punishment comes all three together. In this week's parasha, what happened to Koirach? He was swallowed up, his mamoin, his assets were swallowed up, and his bonim kitanim were swallowed up. So when a person engages in machloikis, there's a triple whammy. It's not one or the other, it's all three. All three together. Machloikis brings churban in all three. Guf, mamoin, bonim, ketanim. Stam en avera? Not everything other than machloikis. It's if a person does not do teshuva, does not get the warning, then there can be punishment. But the punishment is limited to one of the three. Not all of the three. This is the Rambam. The Rambam. What do you take out of this Rambam? That there's such a principle, which again, make it very clear, no one understands why this should be so. What could a child possibly have done that a child to deserve to be punished, to suffer? This is the big mystery of the world. No one understands why 1.5 million children died in the Holocaust. You can write books and make believe you know why the Holocaust happened. I don't know why you can even say that. I don't know how in the world anyone can do such a thing, but no one can possibly explain why 1.5 children died in the Holocaust. What could 1.5 million children have done wrong that they deserve to be brutally murdered in such a way? Impossible to understand. These are the secrets of Hashem. In any event, there is such a thing that banim ketanim can suffer the sins of their parents. And that is why... What? Bonim and bonos. I guess
so
it means.
Why do we say
Oh, oh, oh. So the tradition is that once a child reaches bar mitzvah, then the child is no longer subject to be punished on account of the parent.
The daughter.
Right. Daughter also. Once a daughter reaches bas mitzvah. Bas mitzvah. Why don't you say Baruch Shabbat Trinity Mitchell? By a girl, I don't know the answer. I once saw the answer, I don't remember the answer. I don't so whatever the real is, let's not get bogged down. So therefore, one of the many reasons why a parent says Baruch Shepotrani Me'ointreshal Zeb is in case a parent did an Avera, and because of his Avera, his young child suffered, he will have to give a din v'cheshbon. Because of your behavior, this innocent child suffered. Do you want to have it on your account? Do you want to have on your account that because of your Avera, this little innocent child suffered? That's a pretty heavy thing to carry on with you your entire life. We don't understand it. We're just saying over here words which to us make no sense. When a child reaches bar mitzvah, the father says, Baruch Hashem, if that no longer will my Averois cause this child to suffer. It's a great day of celebration for me that I'll suffer. If I do an Avera, I will suffer. I will no longer carry with me the weight of realizing that because of my Avera, my child has to suffer.
Rabbi, the words means that I no longer am going to be punished for the child's Avera.
That's another pshat. The Einish Shal Zed, that I cause my child to suffer. There are two basic mahalchim. You're saying the other interpretation. That I will not suffer for my child's sin. Right. My child's sins, I have to pay the bill. If my kid goes to some wet cement and puts his initials, who has to pay? If someone's little kid goes and they have wet cement and the kid goes and he puts in his initials and there are cameras, so they knock on the door, you know, your child put his initials in the wet cement. $5,000.
The father says,
You are correct. You are correct. There are different interpretations. One of the popular interpretations is that if a father does an Avera, listen, it was Father's Day only 2 days ago. No, it was Father's Day. He didn't celebrate Father's Day. No one here. I see everyone's hearing. No, some people, no new ties here. No one got a new tie. What? I told you. I don't know the answer. I told you. I don't know the answer.
Can I tell you what the Abarbanel says?
Yes.
Abarbanel says, "Bokeh Abonim al means only that if the child, the second or the third or the fourth generation, is a tzaddik, he's a good person, he won't suffer for the sins of his father. The punishment will fall on the next generation that is a Russia. And then it says, Bokeh Abonim al b'nei bonim, it'll pop. So God says, oh, this guy's no good, he'll take the hit. And that's the way he explains it. It's exactly what he says.
Wait, say that again, I didn't get that.
He says, if your son is a good person, he's a tzaddik, then he's not going to suffer for your sins. But if a grandchild or a great-grandchild, he's the first one who is not a good person, and he does a lot of avaras, he's not a beacon of citizenship in society, and he deserves to be punished, then the avera for the father, Pokeda Bono Bos, Albonim, will fall to the generation that deserves to be punished.
Wow. That's quite a chiddush.
Yeah, it's going to go down, but...
That's quite a chiddush.
You're not going to get,
it's quite a chiddush. Wow.
Oh, you're the Russia? You're going to pay.
These are big mysteries. Okay, in any event, so let's not focus on the bit, but the purpose of the Tefillah of Musaf, Rosh Chodesh, we're being Kribonis, Zman Kapara, L'chol Tol Doisam, that this should come to an end. Is that in the event that a parent did an Avera, a child should not suffer. It is a Kapara for the children. L'chol Zman Kapara, by us davening Musaf, Uneshalma Fadim Sifaseinu, observing Rosh Chodesh, it is a kapara l'chol toldoisam that the children will not suffer askira. Why? Now, why? By the way, not only did they do this, is this Rosh Chodesh? There used to be a custom that people would fast every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, Yom Rivi'i was a day that was designated every Wednesday to fast that children should not die from askira. And there are other examples. There are other examples when they, I don't remember, the examples when parents would devote themselves to accumulating merit that their children should not suffer from this lethal disease that attacked children more than adults. There are certain diseases, and we know this in science, certain diseases that children are more vulnerable. There are some diseases that adults are more vulnerable. COVID, but they're a cloud, did not affect children. They're a cloud. COVID was children, Baruch Hashem, more or less, they were pretty good. There wasn't much of an issue. Adults had much more difficult time dealing with COVID than children. There are other diseases that are just the opposite. It's the children that can't deal with it, and the adults can deal with it. This is Zman Kapara L'chol Toldoisam. It's a Zman Kapara for the parents that the Averis of the parents should not cause their children to suffer. Why? I don't know why. What is the connection? There must be some very deep connection. If you think about it, maybe we'll come up with something. But let's, for the meantime, go forward. Okay, in the Nusach HaTfilah on Rosh Chodesh, we say something that we don't say any other of the Moadim. And that is, U'vishirei David Avdecha Hanishmoim Bi'irecha. You don't say that. And how come, why not? Why don't we say that B'sham Nale, we're going to bring the Karban Oila, the Karban Chatos, this and that, and we're going to rejoice U'vishirei David Avdecha. We're going to rejoice before your Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Shirei David Avdecha Hanishmoim that are heard Bi'irecha. Why don't we recite these words on the Shalosh Regalim? Why don't we recite these words on Shabbos? Why is it that we only recite mention? What?
You say the Baruch
Shema. But not in Shemona Esrei.
No, but in Baruch Shema you say it.
Okay, so Baruch Shamar is Psuk the Zimra. I mean, it's not the level of the Amida. The Amida, in the Amida, this is something which is very basic. When we deal with Korbanos, and in the Shemoneh Esrei, Yidavim, the Shol Shogolim, very elaborate Nusach HaTfilah on the Shol Shogolim, whether it's the regular Nusach or the Musaf, we go on to Mispalach, the Shemoneh Esrei, the Samigdash, and nowhere in the Nusach HaTfilah of Musaf, of the Shol Shogolim, or in the regular Nusach of the Shol Shogolim, do we mention, or in Shabbos, or even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, nowhere. No Nusach HaTfilah of the Amida do we mention the Shirei David Avdecha HaNishmoim Bi'irecha. It is only said in Nusach Ashkenaz on Rosh Chodesh. Why? The Shira of the Levium. The Levium sing Shira. It's part of the Avodah. My high. So the answer he gives...
How about the story?
What? Try to kill him. Okay, but the Shirei David refers to the Levium. L'chayre refers to the Shirei David Avdecha HaNishmoim Birecha. When they brought a carbon, every single carbon was accompanied by the Shirois of the Levium. When they brought the Nesachim, they sang Shira. Why do we not mention this in any one of the other Moadim? So he says two answers. He cites Rishonim, Achrayim, they say two very interesting answers. One answer is, everyone, what exactly is the requirement of Shira? So Machlokes, is the Shira bepeh or is Shira bechli? When the Levium sang Shira, we know as a fact they did both. They would sing, and as they sang, there were other Levium that played musical instruments. What is the ikur? Is the ikur the kli, the musical instrument, or is the ikur the vocals? So it's Machlokes in the Gemara, it's Machlokes in the Mishnah. Oh, so that is the Machloikis Tanoim. You hit upon something. Machloikis Tanoim. Did the Levium play musical instruments on Shabbos? The only reason why you're not allowed to play a musical instrument on Shabbos is an Isser Derabanan. Shavuos. What's the Shavuos? You may come in the Sakein Klei Shir. If a musical instrument breaks, you need to fix it. You need to put in a new string. You need to do something very delicate to adjust the instrument, and that would be a malacha derais of binyan. That would be a malacha derais of shal derais. That would be a malacha of makir b'patish, binyan b'kelim. Adjusting and fixing musical instruments can border on a malacha derais. So therefore, it is categorically forbidden for a Jew today, or even bizman hamigdash outside the base hamigdash, to play musical instruments. Not because there's anything wrong with playing a musical instrument, it's because it's a gzera, it may break, and you may come to fix it, and fixing it will involve possibly a malacha d'oraisa. Now, we have a rule that in the Beis HaMikdash, ein shavus b'mikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they did the services, there was no rabbinic prohibition. All rabbinic prohibitions were lifted, were permitted, because kohanim zerizim. Now, that rule... Shofar, right? Sure, they blew shofar on in the Beis HaMikdash. And that rule is not so simple. Ein shvus b'mikdash is a very limited halacha. It is a very complicated halacha, and it's not 100%. It has to be defined in its context. There is a machlokes tanoim. In fact, if on Shabbos they actually used musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, machlokes tanoim. Which Masechta? He tells you where it is. Which Masechta? They actually played musical instruments on. It's a Mishnah. On Shabbos and Yom Tov. I'll define it maybe later if you want. And therefore, he makes the following suggestion. And not him, it's quoting over here either Rishonim or Achronim. They say something very shocking as to why we only recite this Nusach on Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh is the only time when the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash would play, according to some of the Tanoim, with both Shira B'peh and musical instruments. Because every other time that we say the Musaf, except for Chol HaMoed, it's Shabbos or it's Yom Tov. and Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not universally accepted that it was permitted for the Levium to play musical instruments during when they sang Shira. So it wasn't the full scope, it wasn't the full beauty of the Shira when the Levium were just singing a cappella without musical instruments. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't say we're going to rejoice. Uvishirei David Avdecha, ho amurim lifnei mizbuchecha nishmuim biyurecha. We're not going to say that on Shabbos and on Yom Tov because there was no full presentation of Shira on these days because they did not play musical instruments. Certainly not in the ear of Yerushalayim did the Levim play musical instruments. Maybe in the Beis HaMikdash, but not. But on Rosh Chodesh, which more often than not falls out during the week, during the Chol, so then when they brought the special Musaf, and it was accompanied by Shirois Vishishpachos of the Levim, then it's 100% accurate. We will rejoice with the Shirei David Avdecha, HaNishmoim Bi'irecha. Because then the music that was played in the Beis HaMikdash spread. It was heard in the entire Yerushalayim. They played, there was a presentation of the Levim. Only on Rosh Chodesh. The Shira on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you recite the Musaf of Shabbos and the Musaf of the Shalosh Regalim, you can't say HaNishmoim Bi'irecha. If there was no musical instruments, the voices only carried that far. It was not heard in the city of Yerushalayim. So we reserve this Nusach only for Rosh Chodesh, that was usually on Shabbos, and in fact, on during the weekday, and in fact, when it's Shabbos, we don't say this Nusach anyway. Then we say Ato Yotzarta, Olam Chamikedem, and Taka there, we don't mention this expression of Shirei David Avdecha Hanishmim Birech. It's not part.
And what's chapter
the
people get to the
Mandavra
says that they did
play? So the Nusach was not written according to that opinion. Enoch, and that's
they had a different
Nusach? No, the Nusach came after those opinions. When was the Nusach actually written? You know, in this Sefer, he's very into the Shinu Nuschois. He has 50 Nuschois. Okay, there were different Nuschois. Today, the Nuschois, maybe they did have such a Nusach. It's Anshei Knesset HaGdolah started in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The beginning of the Bayis Sheni was a very long... The Nusach clearly evolved over many, many generations. There's a basic core, but there were many additions and subtractions and shinuyim in every part of the Nusach. It's not clear exactly every single part. And he has records over here of many, many different Nuschois. Today, the Nusach that we have today, the way Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad that's common amongst us in our Kehilos, it only says this on Rosh Chodesh. Does not say this on Shabbos and the Moadim. And the explanation is because on Shabbos and the Moadim, the scope of the Shira of the Levim was limited. No musical instruments. Memela, it was limited. We don't want to go say it. We reserve it for the time when there was unlimited. Unlimited. They sang the pair and it was accompanied by music. Unlimited. Memela, we highlight the unlimited nature of the Shiras HaLevim only on Rosh Chodesh.
Where did they come from? In the Mikdash?
No, in the Lishkas HaGozes. The Kohanim? The Gemara goes in Sefer Tamid. They had a shorter version of a very unique Nusach Atzilah. They didn't have a Shemoneh Esrei altogether. Not in the Beis HaMikdash, they went to the Lishkas HaGozes. Okay, that's another topic. The Sefer Tamid tells you the Seder Hayom. It tells you exactly the Seder Hayom of how they daven Shacharis every morning. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Why is it that the only Musaf, the only time we mention, oh, by the way, what about Chol HaMoed? First of all, who says in Chol HaMoed, if they didn't play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov, who says they played musical instruments on Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed was a Yom Tov also. Just because you're allowed to do Malacha, that doesn't mean you can do any Malacha you want. And secondly, Loi Plug, They didn't have a, we don't have a different nusach. We have one standard nusach for the musaf for Chol HaMoed. It's exactly the same thing as we do on the Moadim. So it's one standard nusach, and the nusach is primarily composed for when there's us isim malacha. So it doesn't change during the Chol HaMoed, where technically you can do malacha.
Wasn't there a different nusach by Eats Beisav, or let's say Eats Mishmeres?
No, no. Let's talk today. Let's forget about what was then. Let's talk today. Today we are reflecting backwards. Let's make it very, very simple. Today the nusach developed over many, many generations. And let's assume today when we are reflecting. When we go and we learn a daf gemara, and the gemara tells us, did they play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov based on this? Some say yes, some say not. So today, the way the nusach has evolved today in Tav Shin Pei Gimel, in the fifth Aleph from creation, today, when we want to reflect upon the Mishnah, we're not going to mention the Shirei David Avdecha on the Shabbos and the Moadim relative to the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, because it's not the same. It's not the same. Meir Appeldorf, the Levi, is not going to be able to sing the same way on Shabbos and the Moed like he does on Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh, everyone comes with the Klei Shir, and all the Levim come, and it's a big, big concert. And the whole Yerushalayim is going to be listening to the Shiros Vishishpachos led by Meir Appeldorf, sitting on the Duchen by the Levium. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's limited. So to bring out the contrast between Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's why we only mention this line and only the Nusach HaTfilah in Musaf. A shocking revelation over here from this incredible Sefer Makori HaTfilah as to why it's only present and present here. Okay, let's go to another unique feature of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. On all the Musafim, all of the days when we recite Musaf, when we mention the Korbanos, if you'll notice, we don't recite the Psukim in the Torah when it comes time to do the most important part of the Musaf. The most important part of the Musaf is to actually relate the exact Korbanos that we bring on this day. Right? And on Pesach, you bring a specific set of Korbanos. On Sukkot, a specific set of korbanos. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, every day of the year when you recite Musaf, the most important part of the Nusach HaTfilah is to specify exactly which korban we're bringing on this day. Now, when we specify the korban, do we actually read the psukim? Wouldn't that be the easiest thing to do? To take out the psukim and just do a copy-paste, go to the Torah, go to Parshas Pinchas, and find the psukim for the carbon of the yoim, and copy paste and put it into the musaf. And when it uviyoim uvachodesh harishon beechol achodesh, read the psukim. V'zehu. Guess what? We don't do it. We don't do it. We paraphrase. We paraphrase what the korbanos are. We don't cite the psukim mila b'mila. Why not? I don't know. But that's how it is. That's how it is. For some reason, we don't want to cite the pasuk mila b'mila. We paraphrase what the korbanos are. There is one exception. There is only one musaf of all the nuschos of musaf where we actually do a copy-paste job. We copy-paste the psukim in the Torah, we put it into the musaf, and we read the psukim. And which musaf is that? No, not Rosh Hashanah. We don't do it in Rosh Hashanah. We paraphrase. We leave out a couple of words here and there. We paraphrase. We rewrite it. Chazal rewrote the specification of the animals that are offered on the day. The only time we cite the psukim mila b'mila is Rosh Chodesh. Why? My high, why? Manav shach. I mean, what's going on? What's the difference? So he says over here, a fascinating answer. There's no need to recite the psukim mila b'mila. It would be repetitious. It would make davening boring. You know why? Because you laned it. You laned it. Before you dive in Musaf, what do you do? Kriyas HaTorah. And what do you do when you come to Kriyas HaTorah? You take out the Sefer Torah, and you turn to Parashas Pinchas, and you read exactly the psukim of the Musaf Hayoim. Uvachodesh Harishayim. On the 15th day of the month, whatever, you read the psukim. So I already read the psukim. So now when it comes to Musaf, it's not right. It's like almost like, what are you repeating the psukim? We just read the psukim. We just read the psukim, Kriyas HaTorah. If we read the Pesukim and Kriyas HaTorah, you have to go read the Pesukim again. Were you trying to make a statement that the Baal Kriya, you weren't Yaitza with the Baal Kriya? So, we're not going to insult the Baal Kriya. So we paraphrase whatever it said in the Pasuk. Okay, we read the Kriya, and now we're going to do it again. So now you'll ask the question. So when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we also read Kriyas HaTorah. Today, we learned Uvarosh Eichot Sheichem. Takriva oil Hashem, parim b'nei v'kar sh'tayim v'ayel lechad kivosim neishna shivat t'nimim u'min chasam v'niskeim. We read the Pesukim, today we read, right? So it's so one of Shach. If the reason why we're not going to go in and read the Pesukim on Pesach and Sukkis and Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is because we already read the Pesukim on, we already read the Pesukim in Kriyas HaTorah, that's why we're not going to go and read them all over again. It's going to be redundant. We're just going to paraphrase the etzem. This is what we're davening. So why are we doing on Rosh Chodesh? Today we also read the person who got the fourth aliyah today. Do we have here a revi'i? Do we have here a revi'i here today? What's more chashev? A Rav once asked me, he asked me this a few times. He asked, what's more chashev on Rosh Chodesh? Shalishi or revi'i? What's more chashev? He said to me, the Gabbai always gives me shlishi on Rosh Chodesh. And he said to me, I'm choyshed, he's trying to insult me, because I think Revi is more chashev. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking.
Revi is more
chashev. Rabbi Baruch, what's more chashev? Shlishi is more chashev? On Rosh Chodesh? Your Rebbe told you? Your Rebbe got shlishi? On Rosh Chodesh you got shlishi? It's not so pasha, you should know.
Revi is more pasha because that was Gerim
Hayom. Oh, exactly. All I know is that if someone comes to me by Shabbos Mincha, and he says, I'm a newcomer in the shul, the guy says to me, Koyein, Levi, Yisrael, I say, hey, I'm a shishi. Don't insult me here. I'm not a Koyein, Levi, I'm a shishi. Oh, okay. So this is not so great. So question over here is today we laned the same Zelda answer. We laned today the psukim of Uvrashei Chatshechem Revi. So what's the answer? So this is what it says over here. A pelodic answer, unbelievable answer. There's a very big difference between the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh and the Kriyas HaTorah of all of the other Moadim. And all of the other Moadim, when you lane, the lane, you lane only, it's not so good for Sukkos really, but no, it is good for Sukkos, because only Chol HaMoed is the problem. The difference is, you only lane the Psukim, the Musaf of the Karbonos of that day only. V'zehu. On the first day Pesach, you only recite, you only read the psukim that describe the set of korbanos that are offered on the first day Pesach. V'zehu. No confusion. Okay, you're going to lane from another Sefer Torah. You're going to lane the first five aliyahs. But when it comes to the maftir, and you take out the Sefer Torah to lane the musafim, you only lane the korbanos of that day. V'zehu. Shavuos, that day. The last day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, V'yom HaShmini. No confusion. First day Sukkot, only the 15th day. No confusion. Same thing for Pesach, same thing the first and the last day. No confusion. The only time when you lane and you confuse everyone in the Tzibur is Rosh Chodesh. Because what do you lane? No, the Talmud. Most of the laning is, today we lane is Vayidaber Hashem Tzavest Bnei Yisrael Ve'amarta Alehim Es Karboni Lachmi Lishai Reach Nichi Tishvu L'Hakiv L'Mu'ado. You lay in the Talmud, and then you lay in Shabbos, and then you lay in Rosh Chodesh from one Sefer Torah. Oh, I'm confused over here. I'm not so sophisticated. What are the Karbonos Hayoim? We Kriyas HaTorah. So when it's Pesach, I got it. We took out a second Sefer Torah and we lane the Korbanos Hayom. I'm not confused. Mark, I'm not confused. Shavuos, I'm not confused. Rosh Hashanah, I'm not confused. Yom Kippur, I'm not confused. The only day that I don't know what's going on over here. They lane four aliyahs, they gave me shlishi, and they lane the Tamid, and they lane Shabbos, and they lane Rosh Chodesh. So wait. What are the korbanos of the day that we bring today? Do we bring the tamid also? Is that what's unique today? Is Shabbos a chelik? You know, Okay, you're learning a lot of korbanos. I'm confused. Oh, you're confused? Let's clarify. Daven Musaf. And in Musaf, instead of paraphrasing what we bring today, let's bring clarity to the Kriyas HaTorah and actually read the Psukim. Okay, remember, let's start the question again. We have a very tough question here. In the Nusach of the Musaf, there's a very big difference when it comes to the Musaf of all the Moadim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Shalosh Regalim. We paraphrase the set of Korbanos. On Rosh Chodesh, no paraphrasing. We do copy-paste. We take the Psukim in the Torah and we put it into the Musaf. Maishno, Manishtana. Halayla hazeh mikol halelus, Manishtana hayom hazeh mikol hayomim. What's the difference? So the answer it says over here is because on all of the Moadim, we already said those psukim mila b'mila during Kriyas HaTorah and there was no confusion. On Rosh Chodesh, we said mila b'mila those psukim, but we said a lot more than that. We read the entire Talmud and we read Shabbos. And it's a bit confusing as to clarify what, so tell me at the end of the day, what today are the Korbanos Hayoyim? You know, it could be Shabbos also. Rosh Chodesh could fall out on Shabbos. Then we lay the Yom HaShabbos, and Rosh HaShechem. Today we lay in the Talmud. We once have a Torah. So wait, what are the korbanos that are miyuchad, bedafka for Rosh Chodesh? We lay in the psukim. So we're going to read the psukim again and omit anything that's not relevant specifically to Rosh Chodesh. Okay, it's a chiddush, but it's a good question. That's how he explains. Okay, winding down. Okay, now there are a lot more things here, so let's see, we should take something that is very important, because we're running out of time over here. Let's just see what we can select. Okay, what about, let's discuss, even though it's not relevant this year, and it's coming up next year, is Ulechaporas Pasha. Ulechaporas Pasha. We all today, and this over here, and this every quite a whole collection of nuschois. We have 12. In the section of asking for bracha, looking at Vaseinu, Chadesh Lezachosh Zel Letoivo Vilevracha, Lesasin, we go through 12 expressions of bracha in the Nusach of Rosh Chodesh, and we all are aware that these 12 expressions, the reason why it's 12, it corresponds to the 12 months of the year. And in a leap year, we add Ulechaparas Pasha in order to allude to the 13th month. We add one more expression, one more bracha, because this year we have an extra month. And in fact, over here he goes through how it corresponds, all the ways that these 12 words correspond to the 12 months, b'chulu b'chulu. Ulechaparas, so we get this sense that Ulechaporas Pasha is an expression that you only could say in a leap year regarding the 13th month. The truth is, it's not true. When do we say Ulechaporas Pasha? On Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, part of the standard Nusach in the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, the Nusach, look in the Nusach at Tefillah, Ulechaporas Pasha. There's nothing wrong with saying Ulechaporas Pasha, an atonement for wrongdoing. We say it on Yom Kippur. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if it's a leap year or not a leap year. It is a chelik of the standard nusach that we Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfarad, recite on the Yomim Noiram, Yom Kippur, Ulechaporas Pasha. So it's not something that's only miyuchid for the month number 13. We say it on every Yom Kippur. Okay, we should be aware of that. Now, why? So, what is the reason why we actually add it? First of all, there are many minhag as to how to do it. There are some that have the minhag that they add it Ulechaporas Pasha in the leap year, the entire year, from Tishrei until the next Tishrei. Okay, that's not so common amongst us. Then there is the custom to add it, to only say it in Adar Sheni. The whole year you don't say it, but when you come to Chodesh Adar Sheni, you say it only Adar Sheni. Then there is the more common minhag, which most of us follow, is you add it starting with Tishrei, and you stop saying it Nisan. Nisan you don't say until Adar Sheni. Starting with Cheshvan, because you don't say it in Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah we don't say Yalav Yavam. Cheshvan. Now the question is why? Shouldn't we say it already from Nisan? If we know now, right now we know, today, Mark, did you say Lecha Paras Pasha?
No.
Why not? This coming year on the calendar is going to be a leap year.
Yeah, but it's not that year.
What? Why? HaChodesh Lecha Marosh is number 13. Lecha Paras Pasha is blessing 13. How are you going to get to 13 if you first start saying Tishrei? You only have 7. If you first look at the year as 7, you have 13 words corresponding to the 13 months. So obviously, we're dealing with 13 months. So when is month number 1? HaChodesh HaZelochem Rosh Chodoshim. Nisan is month number 1. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. So we're up to 4. If we know that next year is going to be Adar Sheni, so the only way we can get to 13 is if we start with Nisan. So Mark, why didn't you say Ulcha Paras Pasha today? You're not going to be able to get to number 13.
Because that year has not been designated as a year.
It has been. On our calendar it is. Go look at the calendar. The calendar has been set. Hillel HaZaken.
My Hebrew calendar stops right by Rosh Hashanah, and then I get a new one.
We know that next year on our calendar will be a leap year, and if we have 13 blessings and the 13 blessings correspond to the 13 months of the year, doesn't it make logical sense that in order to get to number 13 we should start with Nisan Ulcha Paras Pasha? What's going on over here? The answer is maybe Mashiach will come, and if Mashiach will come, who says the calendar next year will have be a leap year? If Mashiach comes, we scrap the calendar. What if it's our job? If Mashiach will come and the Sanhedrin will be reconstituted, then it is no guarantee, there is no guarantee that next year will be a leap year. It's only going to be a leap year in our calendar if Mashiach doesn't come. Then there's a preset calendar. But if Mashiach will come, then the Bezin will convene in Tishrei, not in Tishrei, in Cheshvan. That is the law. The law is, you cannot, also it's not decided yet. Beis Din, when they were Ma'aber Shonim, in the time of Zman Sheh Beis HaMikdash HaYekayim, Beis Din did not convene to even think about it until after Tishrei. Just because it's Nisan, hey, who says next year is going to be a leap year? They didn't even begin to deliberate, should we make a leap year until the Gemara, Rashan, until after Tishrei. They don't even get into the conversation. So we are not even in the mode of thinking about what is going to be next year, that there's going to be a month number, because if we would, then Ein Hachanami, we should start from right now, because to get to number 13, we're counting the months, it's 13, we have to start from number 1. But because even this Zman Sheh Beis HaMikdash HaYekayim, they would not even begin to convene to discuss this until after Tishrei, Memela, we don't begin to start saying Ulcha Paras Pasha until we get to Cheshvan. Now, why Taka do we say Ulcha Paras Pasha? So very cute. Some of the reasons is because if there's an Ibayar, we think it corresponds to month number 13. So what? It's Adar Sheni. Why do you need, the way the average person looks at it is, because this year there are 13 months, we only have 12 words, gewalt, the world's going to come to an end, we need another word. Who says that's the pshat? When you have an Ibayar, is it really correct to say there are 13 months? There are 12 months, and the 12th month happens to be a double month. Who told you to give the number 13 such weight? 13 months. There are 12 months. There's an Adar Rishon and an Adar Sheni. A and B. They're only 12 months, Mark. They're 12 months. That's it. Who made up the number 13? Just because it's an Ibuya, you got to go add in another word, L'chaparas Pasha. Is that the pshat? Better pshat. If he is going to be, when you hear that next year is going to be a leap year, you should go, oy gewalt. I don't know if I could make it. I always yearn for Yom Kippur. You know why? Mechilas avoinais. You're telling me I have to wait another month to cleanse my neshama from my averus? I don't know if I can make it. When you delay it a month into the year, you know what the consequences are? Klal Yisrael is lacking kapara. There's a delay of kapara for 30 days. This is pikuach nefesh. Could you imagine the weight, the grace of plates of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, when they will pad a year, when they have to go, it rests upon their shoulders. Think of it from a different perspective. If you're really a religious person who has a emunah pshuta and lives a life of Torah and Yiras Shamayim, can you imagine the weight that has to rest upon the shoulders of the Sanhedrin HaGadol when they're dealing with Klal Yisrael, who unfortunately has accumulated chait, and every chait creates a mekatreg, and there are problems. When a person does averos, there are consequences. There is sakana. It's mamish sakana. In every dimension, people need refuah, parnasa, shiduchim. And okay, guess what? Good news. Yom Kippur is coming. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, your neshama is cleansed. Your neshama is cleansed. Oh, refuah, parnasa, shiduchim, shefa bracha. Hashem brings bracha to people that are tahar. You're telling me now I gotta wait another 30 days? Could you imagine if your internet goes down? No internet. It doesn't work. I have no cell phone reception. So you call up. Oh, you know, the repairman was supposed to come today, but you know, these things are not. Oh, we'll make an appointment 1 month. 1 month until we'll repair your internet service. We can't find the repairman to come for 1 month. You'll go meshuggah. You'll mamish go out of your mind for 1 month.
This is the Abarbanel on Yom Hashanah, Yom Hashanah. He's talking about Yom Kippur. He said that's why the Lashon is Yom Hashanah, not Shana Layo. You should say Shana Layo, Shana Layo. Since Yom Hashanah, because that day is Yom Kippur, and Tisua Monosechem, Arborim Shana, I'm taking away Yom Kippur, you're going to have to accumulate all your sins, see if you can make it.
Exactly. This is mamish, therefore.
Your
cheshbon
was supposed to make $100,000 this year. That's what the
Kodesh Baruch Hu. You gotta stretch it. Here's the pshat. When you have a year that's 13 months, you're not aiming a word, ulechaparas pasha, because, oh, we need a word for month number 13. No, that's a very simplistic, narrow, naive way of looking at it. Another month, what's going to be with Yom Kippur? So you know what? We better start praying right now. Ulechaparas pasha. Start doing teshuva now. You need it now. Hashem, forgive us now. We don't know if we're going to make it. If we become aware in Tishrei that Yom Kippur ain't coming for another month after Tishrei Cheshvan, when you realize that, hey, this is a 13-year month. Yom Kippur is not coming for 13 months. Uh-oh. Spread the budget. You better crack down. You need an extra dosage of atonement this year because you got to stretch it. You got to stretch the accumulation of chait is a serious matter. It's a whole different way of looking at it. All right. Have a wonderful day. Good chodesh, everyone.